Blog Talk Radio.
Tell me who flop, who cop the blue drop, who jewels drop, drop, who mostly go she down to the blue drop. The same old pimp, mates, you know ain't nothing changed but my limp. Can't stop, try, see my name on a blimp. Guarantee a million shells full of level up. You don't believe in Harlem World, nigga, double up. We don't play around, it's a bet, lay it down. Niggas didn't know me 91, bet they know me now. I'm the young Harlem nigga with the goldie sound. Can't no TV, niggas hold me down. Cooler, school me to the game, now I know my duty. Stay humble, stay low, blow like Woody. True pimp, nigga, spin no dough on the booty. And when you yell, there go mates, there go your cutie. All the spots, rock all the rock, top all the drop. I know you're taking now when all the ball is stopped. Nigga never home, gotta call me on the yacht. 10 years from now, we'll still be on top. Yo, I thought I told you that we won't stop. Now, what you gonna do with a crew that got money much longer than yours? And a team much stronger than yours? Valet me, this a BOJ. We don't play, mess around, be DOA. Be on your way, cause it ain't enough time here. Ain't enough lime here for you to shine here. Deal with many women, but treat down spit. And I'm bigger than the city lights down in Times Square. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No info for the DEA. Federal agents mad cause I'm flagrant. Got myself and the phone in the basement. My team supreme, stay clean. Triple beam, miracle dream. I be that. Catch a seat at all events bent. Gats and holsters, girls on shoulders. Playboy, I told ya. Me and Mike to me, bruise too much. I lose too much. Step on stage, the girls boo too much. I guess it's like you run with lame dudes too much. Me lose my touch, never that. If I did, ain't no problem to get the gap. Where the true players at? Throw your rollies in the sky, waving side to side, and keep your hands high while I give your girl an eye. Player please, lyrically, nigga C, B-I-G-B flossing, jig on the cover of Fortune, 500. Take my phone number, your man, I got the know, I got the dough, got the flow down, pick that, black and plus, like that, dangerous, on Trizak, leave your ass, kiss that.
Welcome to another episode of Table Talk with T and Ronan. Good to see everybody here in the chat room. So we got a lot of stuff to talk about tonight, so we're going to go ahead and get started. That was More Money, More Problems by Biggie, and that is one of my favorite songs. I love Biggie as well, Danica. So anyhow, I'm going to tell you a quick story. So Ronan called me yesterday. I told him when I talked to him this past weekend because I had to work. So that's why I wasn't really tweeting and posting stuff on Facebook. I had to work all weekend. And then I think, what was it? I got off of work Saturday. I went and got my boys, and we went to this water park at the this bottom of America. So we was at the water park all night. So I didn't get home until like 11 o'clock. I called Ronan, and I was like, Ronan, you got to go see Django. I need you to go see it so we can talk about it on the show. And so you did get a chance to see it, correct?
Yeah, yes, I did.
Okay, so look, y'all, how about he calls me yesterday, and he's like, I got to talk to you about the movie, you know what I'm saying, we got to discuss this before the show, I got to get this off my chest. So I'm like, okay, cool. Then he starts texting me like, then I'm like, okay, cool, I'm editing some videos, I'm going to call you back. Then he starts texting me like, get on Skype or get on, what was the other one, Uvo? And I'm like, okay, that's fine. So I call him, he finds me, we get on Skype. He decides to just go in this movie via Skype. Like, he had to show me himself live in person. We had a whole discussion about the movie last night on Skype. And what were you talking to, Ronan? You were just talking to my picture because I wouldn't get on camera. He had a whole discussion with my picture. I mean, I was talking to him via the phone, but I just would not, get on live camera because I was painting my nails. Told you, I was painting my nails purple. Throw me off my square. But anyways, go ahead and tell them what you thought. Because, I put up my review on Django, and it was hard to go through and break everything down in an 8-minute video. I mean, if I really wanted to break down the movie, the video would have been 40 minutes to an hour, and nobody would have sat and watched that. So, like I said, to me personally as a movie, I liked it. To me as a movie, it was entertaining, but I understand how people are offended. I understand the racial lines and the racial issues that were in the movie. So go ahead and just tell them what you were kind of telling me yesterday on Skype as far as how you felt about Django.
Well, first I want to say what's up to everybody, and hope they had a good week so far. And when it came to the movie, I was hearing a few rumblings. I like hearing what Spike had to say, and I kind of, looked at both sides of what he was saying. And what he was against it. And then actually going into the movie theater, it was mainly more educational with the responses from the people. And it was a real mixed crowd. You had, people of different ethnicities, some mainly predominantly white and black. And in seeing the movie itself, I don't know if anybody's seen it, but I might spoil a little bit. But there was some comedy in there a little bit, and then there was some very especially a man of color, that is mainly some very unsettling things that I've seen as far as what I will say is, with the movie itself, what most people would deem as violent, it is very tame to what was actually happening around those times. And there was a part where, they sick dogs on this dude, and he pretty much got torn apart. There's another part where they had this thing called Mandingo fighting, which I found very disturbing, which was pretty symbolic and similar to what is happening today. You have, black-on-black crime. You're having, all these random fights. You're seeing this stuff on World Star Hip Hop and other venues. It was just a whole lot of similarities of what you've seen back then manifesting today.
Right.
You looked at the small characters. I mean, they play the bit roles, and you see those characteristics. You had this chick, I forgot what her name was, she would be portrayed as the Black Jezebel, where she was just sitting on the couch and waiting for, Leonardo DiCaprio's character, to pretty much just feel whatever sexual whim he had or wanted. And she was up for that.
Right.
You had the Black Mammy character who was in the kitchen, just doing the stereotypical stuff, kind of remind me of the chick that was singing for Chicken or Mary J, what she did for a minute.
She reminded me of Aunt Jemima.
Yeah, Aunt Jemima.
With the scarf on, and then she's about to make some waffles or something. I mean, you're right. They did have the stereotypical roles, and I was saying to you yesterday, there was a lot of things in that movie. People are kind of offended not only by the language and him saying the N-word. They're also offended by the different scenes that took place. but what he showed is not far from fact. You know, like they always say, truth is stranger than fiction. You know, what he showed is the truth. They did that to slaves, and they did much worse. And that's what we were talking about yesterday when I said that it takes a really sick person to be able to put somebody in bondage and make them their slave. Because when you think about it, these people were free to do to another human being whatever they wanted to do. Whatever sick, twisted things they decided to come up with, they did that to these slaves. You know, just like when the guy couldn't fight anymore, he didn't think twice about letting those dogs out and sticking those dogs on him to kill him. And those are things that really happen. Just like the woman, you know, there, she's happy and she's looking beautiful, but she's there strictly to service all these white guys. You know, so whatever sexual desires, whatever they want to do to her, they were free to do that. You know, and it's just, it's sad when you think about, you know, what our ancestors went through, you know, during slavery and everything else, and then it's even more sad to think about the stuff that we're still doing to each other today. And I think that's what bothered me and a lot of people with the whole Mandingo fighting, because like I said in the video, when I was watching these two men fight to the death, you know, it just reminded me of all the shootings and the killings and the stuff that we see today, where you'll have one black man look at another black man and he does not see him as his equal. He doesn't see him as his brother. He'll kill him before he goes out and kills a white man. And I'm not advocating killing anybody, so twist my words around. But what I'm saying is that we've been just taught to hate each other. We've been taught to look at each other as competition, you know, to be ready to be killed or be killed. I mean, it's just really, really sad. And then to see that part in the movie, it definitely shows where a lot of this stuff stemmed from. Because after he took that hammer and he killed that other man, what they give him? A cold beer.
A cold, tall beer. And tell him he did a good job, boy. That was it.
Right. Yeah, that part was just really, really disturbing for a lot of people, and that's what they're saying in the chat room. People who said that they, you know, that they seen the movie, was it made them squirm, you know, and it was very, very disturbing just to see that part in the movie. And, I mean, they played that movie to a role. They played it to a T. But I try to look up stuff about the Mandingo fighting, because some people leave messages on my page that it was a real thing that really happened. But then when I looked it up, a lot of the articles that I found said that it wouldn't make sense for there to be a Mandingo fighting. Because when you think about it, what they were saying, that they were fighting their strongest and best slaves. So people paid a lot of money for slaves. It wasn't like you was going to get a slave for $50. They paid a lot of money for these slaves. So if you're going to take your best, your strongest, your bucks, and then fight them against each other, you're losing money. Because that buck, and I'm sorry to say, but that's what they caught them, was able to reproduce and make even stronger bucks. So if he fights in a Mandingo-type situation, they're going to be losing money. So that's how a lot of the articles broke it down to me, that this was just part of the movie and there was no such thing as Mandingo fighting. But what I will say is that I don't necessarily believe that. I don't believe that they may have been fighting their strongest slaves, but I do feel like as sick and as twisted as some of these slave owners were and as sick and as twisted as people's mentalities were back then, I could definitely see them fighting weaker slaves or just, you know, trying to get their jollies off of just making two people fight until the death. I could definitely see it happening. Maybe it wasn't happening with the strongest slaves, but I could definitely see them doing that with just, you know, maybe the weaker ones or the older ones or ones who were, you know, who weren't doing their job. And it's like, okay, now we're going to show them y'all going to fight until the death. You know, I could definitely see them doing that. So what do you think about the whole situation as far as, like, the Mandingo? Do you think that that situation was over-exaggerated? Because that's what a lot of the news outlets like the Huffington Post and stuff like that are saying. Or do you feel like those fights could have really happened?
I personally believe that those fights did happen. I wouldn't say they were the strong buck slaves out there. You know, it's like you figure they had different ways to make money. Either they sold them amongst each other or, you know, they had, you know, the women either as prostitutes or, you know, other different type of vices. And, again, they with that part of the movie, they did treat those men and other ones like pit bull fighting. They were just out there. You know, go keep fight boy or whatever. Like, I believe they had the strongest ones in that field, you know, not overall. So, of course, they had to pay attention to their property. You know, that's just what they were. But again, it's like everyone had their different positions to play. So they found out if this person wasn't good in the field, they found another way to try to make means on their purchase of their goods. You know, and it's kind of messed up to say that, but that's how they did it. You know, and I personally believe they did have that going on, you know, trading back
right.
and going forth and betting on who will survive again. That's like, okay, well, it's a win-win situation. You know, like, okay, if my slave wins and makes me money, or this person loses, that's another, pretty much another nigga gone. So it was a win-win for them.
Right. The whole institution of slavery is sick. You know, and a lot of people are mad that Quentin Tarantino was the one who put it out there. But again, we have a lot of black, you know, producers, not a lot, but we have enough, you know, where they could have put the story out there and maybe not put in a, you know, spaghetti Western, but they could have really detailed and put it out there as far as, like, the story of slavery. But no one has really done that since Roots. And even with Roots, you know, they showed it on BET around Christmas. That was a very accurate portrayal, but again, it was tame as well. And a lot of people who complain about Roots have never read the book. The book is so deep. I mean, I would tell anybody to read the book. You know, the movie's okay, but the book is so much deeper. I mean, you really get to see the characters and you really get to understand, you know, the whole generational thing. So I just think, like, the movie, I took it as simply a movie, you know what I'm saying? But don't get it twisted. I definitely saw a lot of little underlining shit, you know what I'm saying? I saw where they were trying to sneak in a lot of really slick stuff, you know, and especially, like I said, with Samuel L. Jackson's character, him being a house slave, what I peeped, I don't know if a lot of you guys realize that in the chat room, but what kind of bothered me with his character, besides the fact, you know, how he treated the girl and how he was so, you know, on Leonardo DiCaprio's ass and trying to bust out all the other slaves, and he was, a, you know, the HNIC. Besides that fact, if you guys notice, they made Samuel L. Jackson darker.
Yeah.
He's already a dark-skinned man, but they made him darker. And they also added prosthetics, because he scared me at first. I'm like, dang, I know it's him, but he looks so odd. You know what I'm saying? And they added prosthetics because they wanted to age him and stuff like that. But what I didn't understand is why they felt the need to make him darker when he was already dark. But then looking deeper into it and realizing, because a lot of people equate, you know, darker skin or, you know what I'm saying, like with being bad or being sinister. And he even said that in his interviews, that he wanted them to make him darker. And at one point in time, Quentin Tarantino said that the makeup that he initially had was almost too dark. Where he looked like, you know, he literally looked as black as like a black jacket. And he did not fit in. He didn't, you know, he looked abnormal compared to everybody else's skin tone. So I just find that kind of funny that they would darken him, you know, just to make up a point. So I definitely peeped that in the movie, you know, how they made him darker to make him more sinister and a lot worse. So it was, the whole situation was crazy, but I will say that Samuel L. Jackson definitely played the hell out that role. I mean, nobody can say that he didn't. He took that role and he made it his own. He played the hell out that character, and that's what an actor is supposed to do.
Yeah.
If he would have did a half-assed job, I'd have been disappointed. That's what an actor is supposed to do. He did what he was paid to do, which was act and play that role. A lot of us despise that role. A lot of us do not respect Steven. But at the end of the day, Samuel L. Jackson put that out there. He played that character to a T, and there's still a lot of people out here who still behave like that now.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to say on that character, because, again, like those characteristics, especially that one, there's a whole lot of self-hatred in that. When you highlight the whole thing about Samuel L. Jackson making his character darker, that was on a really psychological sense, too, because there's some people who hate themselves so much, they want to be, you know, just like Uncle Ruckus, like, you know, just like pretty much, and you know what? Yeah, I did say that right. It's like it's black faith, black people, to where they'll, when they're around a certain demographic, they will sit there as soft shoe, coon and buffoon, and, you know, be very submissive, subservient. But then when around their own, they're so overbearing and, you know, I mean, just really putting out some screwed up perspectives, you know, on themselves and each other. You know, it just really, it was really disturbing, because I've seen and met and know people who are just like that. You know, and even on YouTube, when the so-called gender war was none but, you know, egos and like pretty much conflicting perspectives. You know, that's just what we're
mm-hmm. doing.
So I mean, there's a whole lot of I'd say throughout the movie there are some very light and some very broad subliminal messages in that film, and it's like, you know, there's some parts that like just have you going through the motions, like, you know, when they went to the Klan part where they had the night raid and everything, and
right.
You know, of course they try to make make that part humorous, but then you figure there's some people who do the same thing. They'll put on a mask, or not just like physically, but someone will put it out there socially and like be in your face and say, you know, yeah, this guy's cool, you know, all my friends are this or whatever. And then at the same time, these are the same people who restrict you from going to certain neighborhoods, doing certain things, you know, putting limitations on your money and, you know, using like laws and government to pretty much, you know, either profile you or, you know, put you in a box. You know, so
right.
There's a whole lot of messages that if you're paying attention to see this thing, and it's pretty broad. But that was my take on it.
And a lot of people found that KKK scene funny. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I laughed at certain scenes in that. And I think what I took away from that KKK scene is that it was interesting to see how he gave them a dynamic. Because so many times when you think about the KKK and you think about when you see them in movies, they're just always like that evil, menacing character. You never get to actually know them. You know what I'm saying? Not even that he even went to death just to know each KKK member, but you never see them, I guess, being played in a lighthearted way. Because it's usually always something really, really serious and really, really bad. But how I took it is that could have been something that really happened. You know, that could have been an issue that really happened. And for him to take it, I thought that was a really interesting dynamic. Because when you think about it, like you said, these are just people who have sheets on their head. So they're just, you know, portraying a certain character, which if they didn't have these sheets, they wouldn't be that bold. Maybe back then it would be a little bit, but not really. Because if you're not ashamed of what you're doing, you have no reason to cover up your face. So a lot of it was shame. A lot of it was, you know, secrecy. A lot of it was to, you know, keep these people frightened. So it was just like an interesting dynamic to have Quentin Tarantino joke about that particular scene and have it where they were fighting over the holes not being big enough and the cape and stuff like that. I mean, in the bed sheets. So I thought that part was kind of crazy because you never see the KKK being portrayed in that light. Because I know a lot of people cracked up at the movie theater at that part because up until then it was really, really quiet. It was really, really intense. And then, you know, that joke happened, and then it kind of lightened up the movie theater, and then it got really intense again. So it was just crazy how the emotions were just ranging. Like you saw people, you know, there's certain scenes where you could hear people gasping and squirming, and the movie definitely makes you feel uncomfortable in certain scenes, and it definitely takes you on like a roller coaster of emotions. But one thing I will say, I didn't like the soundtrack. I didn't enjoy like hearing Rick Ross. I don't know, how did y'all feel about the soundtrack in the movie? I wasn't feeling it. What did you think about the soundtrack?
I heard the Rick Ross in there, kind of took me out of the mood of the film. I was like, I kind of rolled my eyes and just went back to the movie for a second.
Because I'm like, Rick Ross was around in 1812? Like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Like, why would you throw Rick Ross in there? Like, I didn't understand that at all. I didn't like the soundtrack. That threw me off a lot. But, you know, as far as a movie, like I said, I'm just taking it as a movie. You know, as far as a movie, to me, as a movie, it was enjoyable, but I definitely understand a lot of the subliminal messages that they were sending as well.
T, that there was a cameo situation where there was a homosexual reference, blatant, in that movie.
Danica, I don't think Danica's seen the whole movie because she has said something about y'all telling the movie. But, yeah, I heard a lot of people talk about that when the man was getting ready to chop off his, you know, his private area. And then he kind of walked off with this little switch in his hips. And it was just like, really? Like, a lot of people caught that part. So, yeah, it was crazy. It was definitely, it's definitely a movie that they're going to be talking about for quite some time. And another thing that's kind of crazy now the new controversy is that this movie is being hailed for all types of Academy Awards, but the main character, Django, Jamie Foxx, is not nominated for anything. So a lot of people are screaming foul with that one, but I think the reason why Jamie Foxx is not being nominated is that he did a lot of offending recently. You know, he had said that Obama was our Lord and Savior, so a lot of people were pissed off about that. And I forgot what award show he was hosting when he was like, yeah, I play this guy named Django, and I kill all the white folks. And he was in a room full of white folks, and it was like, you know, a lot of dry laughter in the room. They weren't really feeling his comments. I think because of those two comments, they're trying to use that as like an underlying reason not to give him nominations for the movie. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, as the time goes on, how people feel about it and what else people have to say about the movie in regards to it.
Oh, Lord.
Yes, Jamal, he went that far and said that Obama is our Lord and Savior. I was like, really, Jamie? He might be your Lord and Savior. I don't look at Obama like that. I damn sure ain't getting Obama phone. Danica said Obama's godson, according to Jamie Foxx. Yep, he said that, and so that upset a lot of people. You know, and he's a comedian, you know, so I understand it, but I'm sorry. I'm not about to sit here and consider Obama anything else besides the President of the United States. Nothing more, nothing less. He might have been high, you never know. So yeah, that movie was a trip. It straight up was. So now there's been a lot of other stuff that's going on. I don't know if you guys have heard, but it's only been 9 days into 2013, and there have been already 13 deaths in the city of Chicago. So once again, Chirac is making headlines. But what they're saying now is that Chief Keith's stepbrother that he grew up with, Chief Keith's father is married to his stepbrother's mother, and they recently got divorced in 2012, and they said he was leaving somewhere on the south side of Chicago. He was going to go see his uncle, and somebody ran up on him and shot him in the back of the head. You know, so it's just another sad, disturbing case of more young people losing their lives, and not just Chicago, but all over the country. So a lot of people are speaking on it. A lot of people are saying, you know, this is Chief Keith's brother. You know, he needs to be more careful about what he says. He doesn't want people coming after him. You know, the whole situation is just disheartening, you know, because wasn't it just 2 weeks ago we were talking about the little boy who was little JoJo's best friend? He had gotten killed just 2 weeks ago for wearing the little JoJo T-shirt. So it was just really sad that it's a whole new year and 13 people have already lost their lives. And it hasn't even been 13 days yet. They said it's been 2 murders per day in Chicago. You know, so all you can do is just pray for people out there and just pray that people just remain safe and, you know, hopefully the kids in the city will wake up.
But what have we noticed, T? We hear this audible silence. No one is speaking on this on the news. You're not seeing that flags half-mast. You're not seeing any sports or any forms of entertainment even mentioning this. It's just another day in Chicago.
Right. Even his response was kind of crazy. He had responded on Twitter, and it was just so nonchalant. It was like, rest in peace, big bro. What did he say? Something, and then he said bang afterwards. It was just like, you know, it was just so nonchalant. And it's like, regardless if they was really, really close or not really close, but it just shows you the mentality of a lot of these young kids. They're just so used to it, it's just not a big deal anymore. It's just like, rest in peace, see you when I get there. You know, it's just, it's real, real disheartening.
I don't even know what to say on that one, really. Really don't.
It's not easy to show your emotions on Twitter, but it's just the point. If you read his tweet, it's just a really awkward tweet. Like, just rest in peace would have sufficed, but you have to read the entire tweet. It was just real, real awkward. It was just a real awkward tweet, and I was just like, I don't know. It just shows you how nonchalant a lot of these kids are. So it's, you know, not really a big deal anymore to them, you know, which is unfortunate, which is sad.
Yeah, that's one of the main tragedies that we got to live with. It's becoming an unsettling norm to when kids are not even expected to make it to 18. Just look at it like, well, you know, Lil James got shot. You know, you want to go outside and play. Is how they treat it.
Right. But, you know, it's crazy, though. Moving on from that. So, now, the whole situation, I don't know, is that your phone crackling? It's like beeping or something. I don't know, it's doing something weird.
That was me talking.
It's like making a bunch of static noise or something.
No, it's not a cricket phone.
I'm gonna need you to upgrade your plan, boo.
Okay.
So anyway, it's been insane. Okay, so I know you guys all heard about the whole Freddie E situation with Honey Cocaine, and she did an interview today with MTV, and basically she's saying that they were just friends. She was never his girlfriend. And because a lot of the blogs are blaming her for his death. And somebody had posted on my fan page some tweets that she had sent out. And she had said a lot of, like, just really foul shit, you know, that you just don't say to anybody. And she claimed that he was using his fame. He was using her fame to make a name for himself. And she was, I'm trying to find them tweets right now on Facebook. One of my subscribers had posted it on there. And it was interesting because I was trying to find these tweets that people were complaining about that she sent, but it's like I couldn't find them, and that was because she had deleted them. So one of my subscribers found them, and she ended up posting them. And I'm trying to find them right now. While I find them, what do you think about the entire situation, Ronan, as far as like the whole Honey Cocaine and Freddie E situation?
I personally believe this is a tension horn gone bad.
Talk up.
No, I said, like, I basically believe that this is a tension horn gone bad, where you have one guy who's, you know, basically done his thing on YouTube, and you have a chick who, I think he's, like, what, pure blood Asian, you know, just trying to make a name.
She's full Asian. She's Cambodian.
Yeah, just trying to make a name for herself, trying to do the hip-hop thing, talking about the same old shit, and, again, he was, I guess, fully chasing after her. And the story's muddled up, but the whole thing is, like, he killed himself over what? And now she's saying whatever she's saying, and now she's trying to backtrack, and it's just a one big ass mess over nothing. So I'm not really making sure. I can't really make heads or tails of it, because when I look at it, it's like this is pointless. Personally, I mean, I just see it as pointless.
Right, the whole situation is real sad. Now I found her tweets. So this is what Shakita had posted, and this is from coming from Honey Cocaine. So she had initially said to him, she was like, "How was I wrong? I was disrespected and said that the friendship was done. I did the right thing. How people choose to react is their choice, not mine." Then she says, "I'm a fucking star. I ain't got time for children's games with crazy people who make it seem like God cursed them." Then she says, "The fact that you use my name for some fame, you don't know me, but I know what you can do, damn actor." Then after that, because I guess they've been going back and forth subliminally. And then after that, she says, trying to use my name for fame, kill yourself. So that's the final tweet that she has sent out that people are saying sent him over the edge. And she ended up going back and deleting her tweets or whatever. But, you know, I mean, I'm not going to lie. I didn't know who the hell a Honey Cocaine was. You know, I had ran across his videos, you know, a few times. I wasn't a subscriber of his, but, you know, I didn't know who she was. And then I go to Google her music, and I'm just like, what the fuck? She had a song. She was like, "I'm the shit. I'm like who? This is the lyrics?" I was like, I can't. I mean, anybody can be a rapper nowadays. Her lyrics literally say, "I'm the shit. I'm just like Pooh." Those are her lyrics on this one song. And I was just like, what? Hell no. I can't. But anyways, you know, those were the tweets that she sent out that people were saying that pushed him over the edge. And like I said, I don't believe that it was just an issue necessarily with her, but it was a bunch of issues that he was going through. Because nobody just wakes up one day and just decides to just kill themselves. It's a lot of stuff that's going on. It's a lot of stuff that's emotionally building. And, you know, so many times we do not know what people are going through behind closed doors. You know, a lot of people suffer from depression and emotional issues. And I think, you know, that's what it was with him. He had a lot of emotional issues. He had a lot of baggage, a lot of things going on in his life. People say he had recently lost a friend, you know, but this whole going on Twitter and posting everything and trying to commit suicide, it's sad. And it seems like it's getting worse and worse because he's not the first person to do this. It's been a lot of other people who have tweeted and, you know, taking their lives as well. So I think that's the part that worries me more than anything. And Shamara is saying that that everybody on YouTube was going in on him like he's a punk-ass N-word, and that he's stupid for killing himself. And I've been seeing a lot of those comments too, Shamara. I've been seeing a lot of that where people are like, you know, oh, well, that's on him. You know, he's a mess. Why would he do something like that? You know, but again, until you're in somebody's shoes, you never really know why they do the things that they do. You know, I don't agree with suicide, but I've been there myself where, you know, I've had thoughts and I've had bouts with depression, so I understand it. But I just think, like, the whole situation is just, it's very, very unfortunate. You know, and I think people still need to respect the fact that this young man has a family. He has family members who are on the Internet who are reading these comments as well. So, you know, it's kind of sad, but people are going to have their opinion one way or another about suicide. But, I mean, as far as blaming her, I just don't agree with them blaming her. But, you know, I just don't understand how the hell she's a new up-and-coming rapper and she's the next big thing. Because her lyrics are just not all that. They're mediocre at best. And then she's fond of using the N-word. She uses the N-word a lot. And at first I'm thinking, well, maybe she's black and Asian, but then I found out she's full Asian. So I'm like, okay, I guess anybody can just use the N-word now. It's just a free-for-all, I guess. You know, but I wasn't feeling her music. I was just like, this is not, her music isn't all that to me, but, you know, whatever. They're probably trying to make her the Asian version of Nicki Minaj. But I just think the entire situation was just, you know, it was just unfortunate. But she has to understand why people would blame her because of the things that she was saying. And that's the point where you're going to tweet things and post certain things, be prepared for repercussions. And I'm sure she didn't know when she posted kill yourself that he would literally do it. But, of course, people are going to put two and two together.
Yeah. Well, let me ask this, and this might be sidebars on, but on a scale of 1 to negative 10, how would you rate her lyrically overall?
On a scale of 1 through 10?
No, I'm saying 1, let's say like from 10 to negative 10, how would you rate her?
As far as just her lyrical content?
Yeah.
I listen to All Gold, everything. I couldn't even pay attention to the lyrics because her damn bright yellow lipstick. You know, it's just not about the music anymore. It's just all about, you know, what you can do to take attention away from the fact that you're not lyrical, period. You know, on a scale of 1 to 10, I would give her a 2. I really would. I just knew I was about to hear some dope tracks. I thought she was going to go hard. I'm like, I like her name. Her name is kind of interesting. Honey Cocaine, that name catches your attention just like Nicki Minaj. You know, the name catches your attention. I'm thinking she's about to go hard. I was like, fail, next. Listen to a few more songs. And then when she got to rapping about being the shit that she is then rapping about poop, what?
Who does that?
That's what she said. She was like, I'm the shit. I'm just like poo. What? I forgot what the name of the song was, but that was the number one comment on there was like, did she just say she's like poop?
No.
I was like, I can't with these people. College Girl said she's a terrible artist, in my opinion. Camera Lady said, not thinking about the consequences of their action. Jean Stewart gave her a negative 5. Danica gave her a negative 2 out of 10. And Camera Lady also said that they're following that dumb side of that YOLO lifestyle. You know, the whole YOLO thing, you only live once. You know, it's crazy.
You know what, T? Like, that is well past annoying because people need to understand that there's a serious disconnect of what they're saying, what most of them are saying, and what most of them are living like. They need to really respond to that golden curtain and see that they're not about that life. That whole you only live once, that is a no shit movement. You do only live once.
Right.
What are you saying? You're not saying anything special. So outside of her name being interesting, personally, she's saying things like poo. She need to go back and find something because that is not her calling. But I can't.
But, you know, it's like as long as you're pretty and you have a pretty face and they can try and market you a certain way, it's like it doesn't even matter anymore with lyrical content. You know, and that's the unfortunate part because you really have a lot of people out here who can rap, who are talented, but they will never see the light of day.
Well,
you know, so it's just, it's like another gimmick.
They're not going to do that. They're not going to put out actual people who can put out lyrical content because of the power of what their message could present. You see people don't put out Rakim or the KRS-Ones or all the lyrical ones who really used to turn, like, hip-hop and still could hip-hop into the, hip-hop version of CNN. But you got these people talking about basically lyrical commercials and of superficial bullshit and lifestyles that they have no intentions of living.
Right. And you read Camera Lady's comment, she was like, oh, my God, they're definitely not about that life. Look at Rick Tata Ross. I still understand how people rock to Rick Ross. I don't get that at all. This man just stole a drug dealer's whole persona.
Yeah.
Used to be a correctional officer, lied about it for 2 years, then finally admitted to him. People still rock with him. I don't get that at all. He's like the fakest rapper, period.
Yeah.
And my whole thing was, I don't give two shits about him being a correctional officer, but my whole thing is, why would you lie about it? What's wrong with having a legitimate job? It paid your bills at one point in time. When they hired your black ass, you was happy to have a job, but now you want to act like you're ashamed of it and then portray like you were like this big-time dope boy when you weren't. You know, I can't get with Rick Ross. I hate his music. I can't stand his style. So, you know, since he came on in that movie Django, I was like, the hell? Where the hell Rick Ross come from? I said, all the songs he picked Rick Ross to put in the movie. Hell no.
But you know what, T? I do understand it. Fake recognizes fake. And there's a lot of fake people who are trying to get all, I mean, you got people injecting concrete and Fixodent in their asses. You got people putting on Botox, people living lies. They can recognize a Rick Ross because they walk in the same company. They can talk about everything they feel they should be, but they're not or could never be. So they're in good company. So I get it. I definitely get it.
G. Stewart called him a Biggie reject.
He's unfit to be Biggie. Biggie would eat that motherfucker alive. Just period.
Yeah, I can't with him. I can't bang with Rick. He's just irritating. And then when he was trying to ride the whole Illuminati thing and act like he was a Mason, he knew I'd shut your ass up. I can't ride with Rick at all.
Mm-mm.
At all. You know, but the whole situation, like I said, at the end of the day, you know, this young man took his life, and it wasn't that serious, but obviously to him it was. But I think that the sad part is this chick is going to be even more famous because of his suicide and his whole situation. Because honestly, even the people who did know who Freddie E. was, a lot of folks did not know who the hell Honey Cocaine was. But she's about to blow up now because of the situation. Because before this, MTV wasn't really interviewing her and checking for her. But now everybody's trying to get a hold of her to speak on her relationship with Freddie.
See, she's just another prepaid artist that just got an extended 15 seconds of fame. So, again, she's going to have to enjoy this for what it is. It's bittersweet, but she's going to have to find some kind of way to stay relevant, just like a Kardashian.
Right, exactly. You know, which is just kind of just crazy. It's off the chain. So now, the whole situation with we're just going to touch on this for a little bit, not too long. The whole situation with Justin Bieber and Little Twist, with Justin Bieber smoking weed. These kids are crazy. These kids seriously have some issues when they're sitting here willing to cut themselves for Justin Bieber because Justin Bieber is smoking weed. They want him to stop. So they want to start cutting themselves. Cut for Bieber, that was a trending topic. And granted, 4chan started it, and I understand 4chan and their jokes, but unfortunately, a lot of little girls really thought it was a real trending topic, and they actually were cutting themselves. You know, so it goes to show you where this stupid sheeple mentality is at and how it's getting to kids younger and younger. You know, and I just don't understand why people just allow their teenage kids to just roam freely around the internet. It's like you want to let your child just roam freely all through the neighborhood, knocking on people's doors and going up in people's houses, but folks allow their kids to just run freely and run amok on the internet. And I, for one, I'm tired of it. I'm so tired of, you know, of a lot of these little kids. It's just irritating. Because even with my son, you know, my kids, they go on YouTube. My youngest, he knows how to go onto YouTube. And usually when they go on there, they'll watch videos. My youngest, he's into, like, Ninjago. And who's the other guy that he'd be watching on there? Naruto. So he watched a lot of Naruto, Ninjago videos, how to make little Lego characters, because he builds a lot of Legos. So he's always watching those animated Lego things. My oldest, he tends to watch a lot of, like, the old school wrestling matches. He's into wrestling, martial arts. He watches a lot of that stuff. So I can hear my doors open when they're in the loft. I can hear a lot of stuff they're what they're doing. I go out and I check on them. You know, when they're on YouTube, like I've always told them, even if you run across a video and you just don't like the video, you don't like what the person's saying, if you don't have nothing nice to say, don't say nothing at all. I said, because at the end of the day, you don't understand how much work and time it took that person to edit, to record, edit, upload, and put that on the internet. So even if you don't like it, that's fine. You can have your opinion, but you can have your opinion and be respectful. But now you have a lot of these kids out here, they just don't give two shits.
Yeah.
And bottom five, yeah, you can't watch your kids 24/7. You're very right about that. I don't watch my kids 24/7. But you still got to instill certain things in them. Kids are going to jump on the internet. Kids are going to do them. But at the end of the day, you have a lot of kids who get on the internet and they just do whatever, they say whatever, and they think because they have the anonymity of the internet that it's all good. Folks don't understand, a lot of people can find your IP address. A lot of people can come to your house. It's like what happened to that girl with the whole Twitter situation. She was talking about dark-skinned people, and somebody ended up coming to her house and beating her ass. Like, you know, people need to start letting their kids know, like, everything you see online, it doesn't mean you have to join in on. Because, honestly, I would be creeped the hell out if my kid was cutting themselves because of a trending topic. You know, at some point in time, it's like, what the hell? Like, if you see your child's arm and they're, you know, 12, 13 years old and they have, you know, JB and they're just cutting themselves, that's fucking disturbing. You know, just some, that just, that whole situation just bothered me. It's one thing to make a crazy trending topic, but for the fact that little girls would just run and go do that behind Justin Bieber, it's like, man, we're definitely lost as a society.
Well, let's be honest with ourselves. It's not, I mean, I put full blame. I said majority of blame on the people who follow and put these celebrities on a pedestal. Just like you have these little girls out there cutting themselves because they're upset about Bieber smoking weed. I mean, this is like a dude who's damn near grown. So
right.
He can do what he wants to do, or, you know, and he has to be accountable for those situations. But, yeah, that's him. But you got too many people who pattern their lives and everything on someone who either doesn't know or doesn't give a fuck about you. Or you look at some of these people who are wearing these skirts where you're having, like, Diddy wearing skirts. You're seeing, you know, even Samuel Jackson wearing a skirt. You're seeing all these guys wearing some chicks' clothing, basically, and you got people
following. Are you saying a kilt? Hold up. Are you saying a kilt or a real skirt?
It's a fucking skirt. I don't pull that kilt shit. I mean, kilt is something with Irish, you know, the same. That's something else.
Right. That's, no, they're wearing a skirt for real, because I haven't seen the picture. That's why I'm asking.
You had a, what's this dude that went on 106 and Park, ASAP Rocky. He had basically a little dress on.
Wow.
So, I mean, again, they're pushing this little fruity agenda. You know, whoever is mad, fuck it. But still, that shit right there ain't cool. I mean, even seen Vin Diesel out there wearing a damn fucking skirt. I mean, like, for real, I mean, y'all slowly but surely turn this shit upside down. So it's not just, you know, the young kids out there. There's adults out there who follow some silly shit out there as trends. Just like when they do the sagging, which started in prison. They're doing all that. Or all the thing with the hairstyles. Again, a lot of people can jump into the sheeple mentality instead of being unique and genuine as they're intended to be. But that's a whole nother conversation in itself.
Right. But, yeah, it is kind of crazy how a lot of these kids are just able to just run amok. You know, and like I said, you know, my last video, you know, I have to deal with that all the time. You know, sometimes people think they can just say what the hell ever, and because you're a kid, you don't get it past me. I'm grown. I don't mess with children, so I expect for children not to go around harassing and messing with me. You know, just like the little fucking tramp that wants to come on my fan page and fucking create different profiles and talk shit. You know, I had to check her before, and then for this other broad to come on and be like, I don't like the way you're talking to her. Bitch, you can unfan yourself. You know what I'm saying? You can't come at nobody no type of way and think that you can't get that back. You want to come on and disrespect me? You're going to get that back, especially when I've done nothing to you. You know, so a lot of these kids just feel like they can just kind of run amok on the Internet, and when you check their little feelings get hurt, I get tired of that. Parents, you need to get your kids. It's a straight-up mess out here, because I know you've gone back and forth with little young 16, 17-year-olds who want to be tough online. And it's like, come on, like, let's grow up. I just think a lot of these kids have too much freedom for your child to be on the Internet all night tweeting about Justin Bieber and what the hell, you know, Justin Bieber is doing and this, this, and that. It is not that serious.
Well,
I was girl laughing for real. I have to check that girl. You know, how are you going to come and tell me what I can say to somebody on my fan page when they came out their way to disrespect me? So you're not going to check their comment. You're going to check me for replying back to them. I don't roll like that.
No, you got to call it for what it is. There's so many people who have the option to leave if they don't, if they hear something or see something that they
I'm going to need you to fix your raggedy phone, Ronan. No. You sound like you're talking to Morse code.
Can you hear me now?
No. You need to hang up and call back in. It's like getting real bad.
Let me try it real quick.
Ronan got a cricket. Ronan, hang up and call back. Ronan got a straight up cricket phone. I got X, you know, he thought he was talking to Morris call. Camera lady said Ronan had his phone, so he popping popcorn. Yeah, I done told him this week, and I said, Ronan, buy yourself a new headset. You can go to Big Lots. You can get a headset for $8. I buy my headset for $8 in Big Lots. Yes, I shop at Big Lots. No shame in my game. Obviously, he's not went to Big Lots. My phone sounds a mess. I'm running back on the air. Ronan, I don't even know what's letting me get him back in. Hello?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you now. They was going in on you. Shamara said she knew it was a cricket. College girl was giving that face. She was like that phone, though. They going in on you, Ronan. The camera lady said it sounded like you was popping popcorn. Anyway, finish what you were saying before your raggedy phone interrupted everybody.
I kissed the darkest part of my ass. What I was saying was, like, you need to be brutally honest about people. Because, again, they have the option. If they have hear something or see something they don't like, they have the option to turn. But you got too many people who figure they want to dictate and govern how you speak on things or think or move. And that shit ain't it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
All right. But then I don't know if I told y'all this in the chat room. I had posted it on Facebook, and I was telling you about it a little bit earlier. So guess what they're trying to do to me, y'all? I get an email at 4 o'clock this morning. I was getting up, getting ready for work. So I was going through my little messages, you know, seeing who was cussing me out today, who didn't like what video, and who liked it, the video. See, I'm just going through my comments and going through my emails on YouTube. And YouTube sent me this long email. And they're saying that they're banning my video worldwide, the video I did on Shorty Low. They said they're going to ban it worldwide because NBC is trying to get me for copyright infringement, and they want the video pulled off of YouTube. Now, I have been noticing comments on my video with people saying that Oxygen is pulling all the videos off of the internet. They're taking everything off of the blogs. No one can find the Shoddy Low video anymore. But I had embedded the video into my video, you know, to show you guys what was going on. That was the point of the topic. And usually when I get copyright infringement or, you know, people want to get pissy by the video, I'll take it down. But this time I'm fighting it. Usually I don't fight it. Usually I won't fight it, but this time I am, because it's not about the copyright. It's fair use. You know, and it's fair use for educational purposes. We're having a discussion. You know, so I just think it's crazy they would want to pull the entire video and ban it worldwide. So when I replied back to YouTube, I said, I'm filing this under fair use. I was like, I don't think that it's fair that NBC is trying to get my video shut down. I said, the only reason Oxygen and NBC want the video pulled is because they're embarrassed. Point blank. There's a petition right now to pull the video. To pull the show. It has over 30,000 signatures. The story has not made national news, so they're blasting this all over the media now. It's now just not on the internet. It's all over the news. And I believe they're embarrassed. Now they're trying to say that supposedly the video was stolen out there real, that it was never supposed to be, you know, put out there to the blogs. But my thing is, nobody knew that this show was even in the works. Nobody knew that Shoddy Low was recording a reality show. Nobody knew anything about this. So who stole the reel and put it out on the blogs? If it was stolen, if it was put out there, it had to be by the people who worked for Oxygen. It's not like, you know, Media Takeout went and took it. Y'all had to leak it out to them and whoever else. So they're pulling this from all of the blogs. But what I find funny is, I'm going to tell y'all like this. Had I been on that video and been like, you know what, y'all just hate that Shoddy Low, and he could do his thing, y'all just mad he trying to take care of his family, I'm going to be watching the show with all my kids. That's my hood rat voice. Had I been on there bigging up the show and, you know, excited to watch the coonery, they wouldn't mess with the video. They wouldn't mess with it. If I had agreed with it, they'd have been cool. Because up until now, before the backlash started, they weren't worried about this video. This video has been up for almost 2 weeks now. But now that the backlash is starting, they're seeing that black folks are honestly protesting this, and they're like, this is the final straw. We're not going to stand by this fuckery. Now all of a sudden they want to come at me for copyright. So, like I said, I already submitted my information. But, you know, so we're going to see what happens. If the video ends up getting pulled, that's why. But it's just funny that they're ready to pull my video for speaking the truth and stating how I feel about the situation. But, you know, if I was cool with the situation, I don't feel that they would have even tried to pull it. So it's just, it's crazy. And I can't even believe that NBC is behind it. But, yeah, they're trying to petition YouTube to ban the video, not in the state of Minnesota, not in America, not in Jamaica. They want this video banned worldwide. I will take y'all a screenshot and show y'all. You know, so what is so scary about what I said? Because I'm trying to help, you know what I'm saying, our people think outside the box a little bit. And like I said, I didn't diss Shoddy Low on the video. I said, at least he's taking care of his kids. At least his kids know each other. But I don't agree with blasting that. I don't want my kids thinking that's the way to live. I don't want them thinking that it's okay to have 10 baby mamas, you know. But that's me, to each his own. But that's just me. That was my opinion. Just like the people who are for the show, they have the right to their opinion as well. But it's just kind of crazy that, you know, that they would want to ban it worldwide. So it's like, what are y'all scared of? Because you don't want other black folks to get to you and be like, you know what, this isn't right. This doesn't feel right. This looks like they're trying to clown us. This looks like they're trying to perpetuate some nonsense. I'm not going to stand for this either. So it's almost like once people start thinking more positive and they're ready to stand up for something, here they come with the petitions and the, you know, copyright infringements and all the nonsense.
I know why they're doing it, though.
Why? Tell us, Ronan.
I believe they're doing it because you are pretty much putting a hole in their pocket if that video decides to spread into the minds of people who watch it. Because you said in your message, at least he's taking care of his kids, but you stood up against the ratchetness. So you figure if people on this, reading the show or listening to the show, start to think about, you know what, this ratchet bullshit is not cool. Think about how child support court and other entities that make money for this foolishness would suffer if people actually decide to be more responsible sexually and socially. So they're going to put the blame on you because you decide to highlight this shit for what it is.
Right. Yep, it's crazy, you know, and it's like the people who are for the show, like I said, it's your business, but when your rebuttal for sticking up for the show is to call me a bitch or say that I'm a hater, that's not a rebuttal. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're for the show, state why you're for the show. Just say, yo, man, you a hater. It's not a rebuttal. It goes in one ear, not the other. Bitch, you just mad that you're not his 11th day mama. You said you want to have a kid by Shawty Lowe. Really? That's your rebuttal? Okay. Yep. Line me up to be baby mama number 11. You know, people would defend fuckery to no avail, which is fine. Like I said, folks is entitled to their opinion. But if you're going to have an opinion, if you're going to stick up for the show, please make it a responsible opinion. Please have, like, a you know, a definite opinion as to why you're for the show. Because anybody who's sticking up for the show, if y'all read some of these fucking responses, all I can do is shake my head. Everything is, you're just mad, you hating, why are you trying to mess with his pockets? Who's messing with his pockets? You know, so it's funny. At the end of the day, a lot of people got riled up enough to start the petition and get upset. And the lady who started the petition, I know her last name is Lamb. I want to say Sandra, but I might be wrong. And, you know, excuse me if I mix her name up. But she's the one who started the petition. And she had a lot of really good things to say. They had interviewed her on Essence, in Essence magazine. She had a lot of good things to say about why she started the petition and how she was just tired of it. And then also she was saying some interesting things about how, you know, the way that they're showing his lifestyle also perpetuates the stereotype that, you know, the black man is a buck and all he's good for is breeding. I'm like, yeah. Damn, that was very interesting.
It's real shit. Just like we talked about the Django movie. Those certain stereotypes or actions or mindsets, they manifest today. You know, looking at that whole shorty low nonsense, that's how it's supposed to be. You're supposed to have hood polygamy to where, you know, you have multiple kids, multiple wives, well, no, multiple baby mamas, sorry. And you have a young girlfriend who's 19, just about as old as your oldest kid, who's
right.
Doing foolishness. So that's how it's supposed to be. We're supposed to promote this image of, you know, communal fuckery and nothing positive.
Right. Oh, yeah, it's a trip. It's a straight-up trip. But like I said, it's going to be interesting to see because the video is, you know, growing by the day with a lot of people. I think people are looking for the video, and they're just happening to run across my video. And, you know, that's one thing about YouTube is you can never control, you know, what videos end up getting popular, you know, getting a lot of hits. And I think sometimes I still have the mentality that I make my videos for my, you know, small subscriber group, you know, like for y'all, like, you know, for you guys and stuff like that. And then it's like once I start getting all these outside people that I, you know, names I'm not used to seeing and just, you know, people just running across it, it's just kind of different, you know, because I like seeing comments like my usual subscribers. Like, I'm like, okay, I want to know what Babs is going to say. I want to know what, you know, G-Stu is going to say, VH1 Access. You know, I look for certain names. So it's always weird when it's like you get all these, you know, random people, and it's like, well, damn, where did you come from? I happen to see this on Tumblr. I happen to see this on Facebook, you know, so it's kind of crazy. It really is.
But I just think it's very interesting as to why they would come after your video and cite copyright infringement or whatever. When really, they've been promoting that bullshit out there and no one had anything to say. They still put out Honey Boo Boo bullshit. So,
Honey Boo Boo. You know, that's another rebuttal I've been hearing a lot, too. Y'all want to sit here and complain about Shawty Lowe, but ain't nobody petitioning Honey Boo Boo, child. That's another complaint. But again, white folks don't give a damn about Honey Boo Boo, child, because it doesn't represent them. Because again, a lot of white people, you know, when things happen in the white community, they are seen as individuals. And like we said last show, for whatever reason, I didn't write the rules. and I damn sure wish I could change them for whatever damn reason. Whenever black folks do something, people look at it as all black folks. We don't get the luxury of being seen as individuals. And that's just how it is, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, yeah, they're comfortable having a show like Honey Boo Boo Child because on 100 other channels, they're seen in a better light. So it doesn't matter if they have one ratchet show, you still have Seinfeld and, you know, CSI and all these other shows that put them in a decent light. But with us, all our shows are reality shows, Love and Hip Hop, you know what I'm saying, Real Housewives. Like, we have the same scenario. The Gold Digger, the Hood Rat, Ex-Stripper, the Fighter, the Baby Mama. You know, it's just always the same dramatic. I don't care what reality show it is. It's always the same drama. So, that's like the main difference between them having Honey Boo Boo Child as opposed to having this show, is that Honey Boo Boo Child, folks know damn well that doesn't represent all white people. We know damn well Shawty Lowe's show does not represent all black people. But again, when a lot of people look at that, especially from other races, that's what they think. They just assume that it's just typical black folks behavior, and it's not. You know, that's one man who chose to have all these kids by different women. That doesn't represent every black male. But unfortunately, a lot of people tend to think that. How many people come at you, Ronan, and assume that you probably got about 6-7 kids by a bunch of different women? They ain't got one kid.
They come at me daily. They assume that I have kids that I don't know about, or they swear I've been sport fucking and anything, but no, we don't get that pass. We don't get an opportunity to be able to freely represent ourselves. We have to get past that layer of ratchetness that's been pre-established. Then they find out who we are.
Right. I mean, it's definitely crazy, you know, and I get the same, you know, stereotypes and stuff like that. I mean, I have people ask me, do your kids have the same father? And my kids look just alike.
Yeah.
Where's your baby daddy at? My baby daddy, you mean my ex-husband? I was married to my kids' father. You know, there is no baby daddy. I have enough respect for my ex-husband since that's my ex-husband. That's still the father of my children. He's not my baby daddy. I didn't just get pregnant by some random man. We've been together since we were 16, 17. So it's like, and we have a long relationship. And right now we're cool. No drama. He's stepping up, doing what he needs to do, so no beef between us. You know, it's like, well, we're always going to be cool because we have children together. But, you know, people tend to assume, like, you know, if you have kids, you automatically have them, you know, by just some random person, and you, especially if you have more than one child, then, of course, they can't have the same father. So it's crazy because so many times that's what is being shown in the media. You have a young girl under the age of 20 with 3-4 kids by 3-4 different people. But that's not always the case, you know. But again, we don't get that luxury of, you know, being seen as individuals a lot of times, which is unfortunate.
You're right about that. It's not always the case. But for some reason, the media and actually people who perpetuate this stereotype have established this as a standard, that as it should be, which it isn't.
Right. Right. And the whole thing is just, you know, it's sad and it's unfortunate, but that's exactly how it is. You know, like even like with Obama, people put Obama on such a pedestal, like, oh, my gosh, a black man who's married and he's with his black wife and children. I mean, I know a lot of black men who are married and who are with their wives and their children. Like, you know, Obama is not the exception. There's a lot of people who are in two-parent households who are raising their kids and, you know, stuff like that. But it's almost like because we don't see that enough, I think that's why people put Obama on such a high pedestal.
Yeah, and they're clinging to some kind of symbol or image other than what we've been putting on ourselves or supporting, unfortunately. So it's an act of desperation. You know, you figure he's got his wife, you know, you got two daughters, you got the dog, you know. It was no different than what we were seeing with the Cosbys, but people didn't believe that then. So, you know, basically, we've been kind of hypocritical in our stances for the past few decades.
Right, and Bonafide is saying that Tyler Perry is making money, so obviously black people are unfortunately consuming the coon films because white people aren't checking for Tyler Perry. VH1 Access is saying that most white shows on TV are not ratchet like the black shows. Look at The Bachelor and Big Brother. You know, and I definitely agree with that. You know, that's definitely true. So it's a lot of really, really good points that are being made, you know, in the chat room here. Jamal's going to say people love Obama because he hangs with celebrities. And that's true. They put Obama up there. He's so hip. You can't say nothing about Obama. Yeah. I remember I said in one of my videos, because he kept talking about Nicki Minaj. Okay, I want to know what your plans are. This was before he won the presidency. So I'm like, you know, he needs to start speaking about Nicki Minaj and address what he's going to be doing for people of color, for America. What are his plans? He keeps addressing Nicki, but you're not addressing the real fucking issues. You know what I'm saying? And my video got banned. They got me for harassment because I said that. And I'm like, so we can't even question or we can't even ask what his motives are, what he's planning on doing, but because people are so brainwashed, you can't say anything, even if it's just a question. If you even question him and you say anything else, it's like, harassment, take down the video. Yeah. So, you know, it's kind of crazy because people put him on such a high pedestal, but I do like Obama for the most part. You know, I like the whole family aspect. I still don't agree with his foreign policies, but, you know, we've talked about that on other shows. We're going to leave that with the other show.
And the NDAA Act has been approved by President Obama. So.
Yep. Y'all watch out. They're getting rid of them guns, that Second Amendment. They are definitely working on it. They are definitely working on it. They're trying to do a lot, and folks need to start paying attention. Danica said, I'm called white by black people.
You know
Why
what, T?
Why do you think you're white, Danica? You light-skinned.
You know what, T?
I can't believe you're thinking she's white. That's crazy.
Danica does bring a solid point. We do have to talk about that on one of these shows immediately because that's one of many multi-layered problems that we're dealing with, especially in the community and abroad. So we definitely
have to. Right, because I remember when she caught the show one time and people were like, she speaks so proper and da-da-da. You know, somebody was saying something in the chat room, and it's like, you know, people have to get out more. I don't think, you know, just because somebody speaks proper does not make them white. Just because somebody speaks with more of an accent doesn't make them ghetto. People have their own different dialect on how they talk. You know, I can't explain how many times people get on the way I pronounce certain things or mispronounce certain things, but I'm to the point where I don't care. You know, if you can get the gist of what I'm trying to say, kudos to you. And if it bothers you that much, don't watch my shit, point blank. You know, so it's just, it's crazy. People just have their own dialect. I don't think that should necessarily dictate what your ethnicity is. I always find that ignorant. People say, oh, if you speak white, if you speak well, I mean, excuse me, then you're not really black. And I just think that that's sad. And that's what a lot of kids get, you know, like with the bullying and stuff like that. And I had talked about that on Facebook the other day. I was telling you about that whole situation with my son at school, you know, dealing with the situation with a bully. And, you know, they end up getting into a fight. And, you know, I'm always going to teach my kids to defend themselves, point blank. You know, people don't like that. People feel I'm a, you know, bad mom because I teach my kids to defend themselves. That's fine. You let your child get beat up and picked on and bullied and depressed and all that. We're not doing that in our household. You know, so, you know, he stuck up for himself. And a lot of it is because he does his work. He does what he needs to do at school. I don't play that. You know, so it's like because he does his work, he's a good student. You know, he helps out the other kids, and, you know, he just does what he has to do, which is not the norm, you know, quote-unquote, for, like, your typical black male child. It's like, you know, kids think they can, not kids, with this particular kid, that he could pick on them. You know, and that's the thing. Sometimes you pick on people because you're thinking, you're assuming certain things, and everybody who does their work in school is not a punk. Everybody who goes to class is not a punk. So you can't go around testing folks. But I did decide, though, remember I said I was going to think about putting them in some type of martial arts. So I took them today, you know, because I do want them to be able to handle situations better. So I took them today to go and look at some jiu-jitsu classes. So I'm going to be signing them up, but it's expensive. It's a lot of money. Mm. It's like $100 a month for jiu-jitsu classes. Somebody said, Shaw, you need to sit down. You're going to jail now.
What?
Oh, my God. Look, when I went to go get my son's friend, right, when I got off of work, my son took the kids to the water park. So I got to go get my son because he had been at his friend's house for the week, and both my kids, their mom kept them while I went to work. So I'm about to come and pick them up and take them to the water park. So my son's friend gets in the car. He's like, hey, TT. I was like, hey. I was like, how you doing, Nathan? He's like, I'm doing good. Then he was like, you're doing it again now. I said, what you doing on YouTube watching my videos? He was like, man, I went to go see the uppercut. And I was like, I don't know her. He was like, that's TT. So the whole ride to the water park, I just kept hearing quotes. You're going to jail now. Shall you get them kids had me cracking up in the car. I was like, them kids are straight up crazy. They had me dying in the car. But yeah, I want to sign them up for jiu-jitsu. I think it's good for kids to know about not only self-defense, but to know when to use it. Yeah. From what the lady was telling me, because I've been kind of reading up on it, she was saying that basically how they're going to do it is that they teach them, there's like a few levels that they teach them. They just don't want you to just, go and just punch somebody. That's supposed to be the last resort. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not going to be the first. You just don't react right away. So the first is to, tell that person, leave you alone, look at them straight in the face with confidence and say, leave me alone, don't pick on me, whatever. And if they keep on, then you try and walk away. Then if they touch you, then you go ahead and, you flip them over and all that stuff. So it's going to be interesting. And a lot of people in the chat room are saying to look at capoeira. I know a dude who does capoeira, and, oh, my gosh, he is so good, very talented. I know some guys who do mixed martial arts. So it's a lot of, really good things, but I want them to take that energy. And, I'm glad that he knows how to stick up for himself, but I also want him to stick up for himself the right way. Not to just, jump right away and, fight, but to try and defuse the situation first. So I want him to try and learn that as well. So I think that'd be cool, But, yeah, I love capoeira. Yeah, I remember that movie from back in the day, Only the Strong.
Yeah.
I know you've seen that movie. Remember Pioneer in our way, Pioneer in our way, Pioneer in our way. That was my movie. Oh, my God. That's how I first found out about capoeira. I think I was in fourth grade, fifth grade when I watched that movie.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen it in years. What was it called? Only the Strong. Only the Strong.
Okay, I remember that movie. It was awesome.
Remember that? Remember Donovan, the little white boy? He went back in the school to get that stick, and he died. Oh, I was crying. Oh, I was in tears. Donovan, he just wanted the stick. I was in tears. I was like, man, that movie was good. That was a really good movie. They don't make movies like that no more.
No, they don't. No, they don't. Miss them days.
That was too much. That was too much. So we got about 12 minutes left. We have somebody who's been on the line holding here for a minute. Let me go ahead and let area code. I didn't know if they were just listening in. I wasn't sure. But let me go ahead and let area code 253 on. Area code 253. Hey, who is this?
It's Mr. Green.
Hey, Mr. Green, how you been?
Good. I was listening the whole time, and I was agreeing with you on a lot of stuff. I wanted to touch bases on a lot of stuff, like the Django movie. Me, my granddad, and my sister, we went to go see it, and it was a really good movie. I'm not a really, big Jamie Foxx fan, but we went to go see it, and since I'm in school, we learn history, and we don't really learn about, slavery and stuff, like black history. So, the movie was, really, touching. A lot of, intense scenes and stuff.
So, what part did you like the most, or what part disturbed you the most about the movie?
I like the part that really, disturbed me was, the whole with the Mandingo fighter, when they let the hounds on him. That was, awful,
Right.
Like,
I think that part disturbed a lot of people.
Yeah, and then my granddad, he liked the movie, but when we came out of the movie theater, and I was hearing the N-word a lot, but I didn't really see nothing of it. But when we got to the theater, my granddad, he's like, oh, they used the N-word 149 times. He sat there and counted. I was like, dang.
So how did your granddad feel about that? How did he, was he bothered?
He liked the movie, but they kind of turned him off, so using the N-word so much.
So now you said your granddad took you and your sister to go see it?
Yes.
Your 10-year-old sister?
Yeah. And she was just like...
Okay, I'm just asking because I was trying to, you know... I was trying to debate if I would take my kids. I wouldn't take my youngest. I would not take my 7-year-old. I was trying to debate if I want to take my 11-year-old, but I don't know if I would even, if I want him to see that. So that's why I was asking, how did your sister react to it being that she was 10?
She liked it. She didn't like, she liked the part where, like, the girl, she liked the ending part, you know, where he blows Samuel Jackson's kneecaps off, and he says, oh, you're not going to get away with this, you know, she thought that was funny. Some of the stuff like the part where with the girl, they show the cuts on her back. That was like, and then the part where the Mandingo fight scene, she kind of covered her eyes to that. Yeah.
I don't know. I just think, in my opinion, and I'm not, you know, knocking anybody if they choose to take their kids. That's their business. I just feel like that's kind of young. You know, 10, 11. So even I was thinking that with my son, when, you know, he was asking me about it, he's like, you know, I was telling him I went to go see it. He's like, well, how was it? And I didn't even go into too much deep details with him. I was like, you know, it was pretty cool or whatever. He's like, can we go see it? And I was like, nah, I don't think I really want them to see that. And they understand slavery because we live down south. And I mean, I used to take him down to the slave. We had big plantations in South Carolina that you can go to. So my kids have been, you know, to the plantations, and they've been to, like, the slavery exhibits, and they got to go into slave huts. There's all types of plantations, like, near the, like, Charleston area, even, like, in Rock Hill, there's a Brottonville plantation, and Dr. Brotton, he owned it. He owned about 200 slaves. So they still have the big house, the master's house. They have the cotton fields. They had us out there, you know, seeing how it was to pick cotton. And it was crazy because when you think about a cotton ball, but when you see the real cotton in the cotton fields, there's all types of husk in there. So they had to pick the husk out of the cotton, and it was just so much work. And then they were telling, you know, the kids stories about how children would have been, you know, hurt or maimed just for learning to read. And the lady that was doing the slave expedition was saying that, you know, how important they should take education, because if a slave was caught learning to read or was caught peeking in the window of the classroom where they were teaching the white children, they would poke their eyes out with coals, with hot coals. So it was a lot. So, yeah, my kids have been exposed to that, but I don't know if I would take them to that movie, per se.
Yeah. Oh, Tina, I also wanted to talk about the Chief Keef situation with my cousin. I heard your expression with the tweets, how he was so nonchalant, and he talked to me because his dad's light-skinned, and his dad, Chief Keef, he's always had kind of like a grudge towards his stepbrother because he felt like his dad left his family to go stay with their family because they were like, his stepbrother's family is staying, like, in the north side, and then Chief Keef and they're staying in the south side. And the dad, I remember when we were younger, his dad used to call him ugly and dark-skinned, and you didn't get that from my side of the family, you know, like, that kind of stuff. So he's always kind of had, like, a little grudge. And then I remember when we were younger, they would always, Chief Keef used to always, like, pick fights with him, and they would wrestle and stuff and a whole bunch of stuff. And then, like, it always seemed like his dad was always getting on him for, you know.
Right, that's really sad. And if you want that, I did see on a few of the blogs where they said that he hadn't talked to his dad in a few years, and that him and his father weren't close, and he wasn't as close with his stepbrother as they got older, so maybe that's why he was kind of nonchalant about it, you know. But either way, I think the entire situation is just sad that we're only 9 days into the new year, and already young people... Yeah. Are being killed and losing their lives, you know.
I also wanted to talk about the Freddie E situation because, you know, we're up in Seattle, and I actually got to meet Freddie E. Me and my friend Josh, we were in Seattle. We got to meet him and you know, the rapper Macklemore. You heard of him?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, rapper Macklemore.
Robert,
they're both. Huh?
What rapper?
Malcolm Warren, you know the Good Shot song?
No, I've never heard that.
Oh, well, this is rapper. His name is Malcolm Warren. Me and my friend Josh, we had to meet him and Freddie E. And Freddie E., he was a real, like, cool person. You can tell when, like, somebody's going to, like, make it in the industry. And he could really, like, he really had talent. And when, you know, hearing about his death was, like, when you get to meet somebody and they commit suicide, it was, like, real crazy because we had met him, like, before, so...
So how do you feel about the whole situation with them blaming Honey Cocaine?
Well, Honey, I like Honey Cocaine a little bit. Her lyrics are not really, like, good, but I like her, you know.
So basically
but,
just like her looks.
Yeah.
I don't like her lyrics, but she's fine.
Yeah. Well, it's not really her fault. I mean, she dumped him. That was one of the small factors, but I don't think that's the reason why. It could have been, but I think there was more stuff going on. And he was going through stuff. Yeah,
that whole situation is sad and unfortunate. And we have about 4 minutes left to the show. So it's been a really cool show. It's gone by quick, you know. Yeah. But I see a lot of people, Bonafide is saying that parents need to take an active role in their kids' education and going to parent-teacher meetings and helping with homework, et cetera. And I definitely agree with that. Lucian is saying that schools don't want to talk about that anymore. They're just giving math problems of so-and-so, and they're giving math problems about slavery, and I did hear about that. A teacher did that a few years ago where he was like, you know, if I had 5 slaves and 2 ran away, how many slaves are left? I'm like, you couldn't use apple? He had to use slaves? Yeah, I've heard about that. I've heard about teachers using slaves as math problems. And I think he got reprimanded for that. He wasn't fired, but he did get reprimanded for that. Yes, we're down to 3 minutes already, Lucian. So it's going right past. Ronan, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, because you're kind of quiet.
I'm just listening.
Oh, look at Danica talking about some damn what the F. Yes, the show's almost over, Danica. What were you going to say?
Oh, what are you going to do about this whole NBC situation? With
about
the
whole video. All I did was, you know, was refute the claim. I did a counter claim stating fair use,
mm-hmm.
and I wrote my explanation. In the video, I gave Oxygen their props. I said this is Oxygen's video, so I never claimed it. I didn't say I was the one who recorded Shoddy Low. I didn't say I was behind the camera, you know. So I just kind of broke it down to them, and I also told them the truth. I said, I feel the only reason why you guys are trying to pull my video is because you guys are embarrassed.
Yeah,
sure did.
That's
you know, they're embarrassed, they're upset about the backlash, and because they've been able to pull it from all the other sites, but because it's embedded into my video, because I be doing it a slick way, they're upset, but that's not my problem. Like I said, they end up pulling the video, they end up pulling it. You know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, I ain't got no money to fight no big corporation. All I can do is, you know, type up a letter. I don't have no NBC money. So if they end up pulling my video, they just end up pulling it, but it just goes to show you guys how they don't want the truth to come out, how they don't want black folks thinking outside the box. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like they'd rather pull it, you know, so that way we can just be like, oh, I guess everybody's cool with this. Because I think a lot of people want to voice their opinion, but they don't know how, or they're not used to, or they don't want to make YouTube videos. So I think I give people a platform to be able to speak and express themselves. And that's the same reason, you know, I do the radio show. So people can call in and kind of express how they feel about certain things. So I think we definitely have to think outside the box, point blank. We got 90 seconds left.
So
it's crazy, but, you know, whatever happens, happens, but you guys know the truth, and you guys know, you know, at least I try to, you know, stick up for the little people and just have a different point of view, not even saying that my point of view is right, but it's just my opinion. I don't agree with the show.
Yeah, I do like your video, your commentary.
You said you like the video?
Yeah, because that shows, I mean, Real Housewives of Atlanta and Love and Hip Hop, that's already enough, but... That shows, like, in the Real Mistresses, they're just kind of being even more ratchet. Like, it's getting worse and worse.
Right.
And worse.
So we're down to 60 seconds. So I want to thank everybody for calling. You know, I want to thank you for calling, and I want to thank everybody for coming to the chat room. I had a really good time. The time always flies by. It's crazy. So we'll talk to you next week, Mr. Green. I'm going to go ahead and let you go.
Okay.
Ronan, do you have any last words?
Everyone needs to live, think, and remain outside the box. Never allow your comfort zone to become your coffin.
That was deep. Thank you for that analysis, Ronan. We're down to 10 seconds. So I will see you guys next week, same time, same place. So you guys have a good night. Deuces.
Don't ban guns.